Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, it never seems to get old. The Patriots are again heading to the Super Bowl.
Second and goal to Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl. New England is heading back again for the third straight year.
In last night's nail-biting AFC Championship game, the Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs 37-31 in overtime. And joining us to talk about that and what we can expect in the Super Bowl is WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Hi there.
Hello.
So big moments in that game, huh? What a game.
It was. I mean, back and forth in the fourth quarter, and then you get to overtime, and the Patriots win the coin toss. And I think at that moment, all the Patriots were like, okay, we've got this because we've got Tom Brady. And then, of course, 75-yard drive downfield and Rex Burkhead for a 2-yard game-winning touchdown and another trip to the Super Bowl.
Now, as we said, the game went into overtime, but that's been controversial. So tell us
about that. To put it mildly, I mean, if you were on sports Twitter after this game, as I was, people were ripping the NFL and saying that the NFL's rules for overtime are atrocious, terrible, need to be redone. And it's hard to disagree with that when the only team that touched the ball, you know, it went on offense in overtime, was the Patriots. So you have a up-and-coming quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, who everybody is dying to see what he will do in a pressure situation like this. How creative will he be? What will he sort of pull out of his bag of tricks? And he doesn't even get into the game. And there's something really wrong with that. After it was such a, you know, hard-fought back-and-forth game, to not have both teams' quarterbacks get a chance at posting up a winning score, or, you know, to have that back-and-forth battle continue. I predict, you know, I think we might see this revised because there is such outrage now about the structure of overtime.
Now, you know, there was a lot of talk about Rob Gronkowski. How is he going to perform with all those injuries? But, you know, should people rest easy now after the game, after his performance, or what would you say?
I think we can say Gronk is back, at least back to the player that fans know and love. I mean, he finished last night's game with 6 catches for 79 yards. Two of those catches came on big third down plays, one late in the fourth quarter and one during the Patriots' game-winning drive in overtime. And more than that, you could just tell by the way he was talking after the game that the enthusiasm is back, that the love for football is back. And it was great to see, because that's the Gronk you want playing for the Patriots. And then, to top it all off, after the game, Tom Brady posted a video on Instagram, and it was Rob Gronkowski and him walking to the team bus, and they kind of were like smirking, smiling with a little bit of, you know, sort of a mischievous smile, and they weren't saying anything. And then it cut to footage of the game-winning touchdown. That's the Gronkowski we've all come to know and love, the playful, having fun with the game player.
So let's talk a little bit about commentator and former NFL quarterback Tony Romo. Kept predicting the plays. What's going on?
It is amazing. I mean, this guy, he was on the ball, so to speak, a lot of times, and just getting into the mind of both the Patriots offense and the Chiefs offense. He was so good that free agent Bryce Harper, he's an outfielder in Major League Baseball, sort of set Twitter ablaze by saying, confirmed, just call Tony Romo, and I know where I'm going to play next year. I mean, that was the power of, he was joking, of course, but that was sort of the perceived power of Tony Romo's predictive abilities. And it was amazing and real insight into what both coaches were thinking. Or should have been thinking in some cases.
Last week, we heard Tom Brady respond to the naysayers who were speculating the end of the Patriots dynasty. And he went with this underdog narrative again after last night's win. Let's listen.
The odds were stacked against us. And it hasn't been that way for us for a while. And it certainly was this year. And, you know, we started off so slow. And like I said, the last four games have been our best games.
So, Shira, Patriots, underdogs.
Yeah, that's a really hard one to sell at this point when you're heading back to your third straight Super Bowl and the ninth Super Bowl in the Belichick-Brady era. But, you know, Brady's really leaning into it. And I think, you know, this is a guy who's sort of been discounted, as we know, picked in the sixth round early in his career and sort of had to prove himself. So he's someone who I guess, gets really fired up, or actually, I don't guess, you can see, gets really fired up by being discounted and being doubted. That being said, take a look at what the odds makers are saying. The Rams were initially a one-point favor, but the odds quickly swung in favor of the Patriots. Now they're a one-point favorite. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Patriots become a bigger favorite as we get closer to the Super Bowl.
And this matchup with the Rams, too, it's a little bit of deja vu here. The Pats beat the then St. Louis Rams.
Yep. The greatest show on turf is what they called them. It's a great nickname.
That was in 2002, so tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is what started the Patriots dynasty. This was the big Super Bowl win number one for Brady and Belichick. If you recall, it was a last-second field goal by Adam Vinatieri, final score 20-17. And I think one of the indelible images from that night was a very, very young-looking Tom Brady, just wide-eyed and in complete awe of what had happened, because don't forget, he had replaced Drew Bledsoe midway through that season. So this was just kind of the start of his ascension to becoming the greatest of all time.
And now, in 2 weeks from now, what do you think we can expect from the Rams in the Super Bowl?
It's going to be an interesting matchup. You've got sort of this young versus old matchup, right? You've got Belichick, 66, Brady, 41. And then
ancient.
Ancient in football terms in some respects, particularly for Brady. And then on the other side, you've got Sean McVay, who's the coach of the Los Angeles Rams. He is 32. I believe he's turning 33 in a few days. And then you've got Jared Goff, the quarterback, who's 24. I believe the same age that Brady was when he won his first Super Bowl. So it's going to be an interesting sort of young versus old, experience versus new to this whole Super Bowl thing. So I think that's one thing we'll watch. How does Sean McVay, game plan a duel with Belichick? And how does Jared Goff, being so young, handle the pressure? Is he going to be as cool and collected as Brady was in his first Super Bowl?
Well, it is MLK Day, so I want to ask, what's happening with the controversy over the national anthem in the NFL?
Well, as I understand it, Atlanta is considered the current day hip hop capital, and there was a lot of controversy when the NFL named its headliner Maroon 5 for the halftime act. Many people felt like if you're in Atlanta, you should invite black artists because there's such a part of the cultural scene of that city. Then there was also the complication, or another part of the equation, is the fact that many black artists didn't want to participate in the halftime show because of what's going on with Colin Kaepernick and his anthem protests. However, that being said, one of the highlights will certainly be Gladys Knight performing the national anthem. And she actually talked to Variety about performing the national anthem and what it would mean. And this is what she said. It's unfortunate that our national anthem has been dragged into this debate when the distinctive senses of the national anthem and fighting for justice should each stand alone. I'm here today and on Sunday, February 3rd, to give the anthem back its voice, to stand for that historic choice of words and the way it unites us when we hear it and frees us from the same prejudices and struggles I have fought long and hard for all my life. And I think that's kind of what you hope is it's the show and the people who are representing the city of Atlanta in the entertainment portion of the game have that same sentiment and bring that to the entertainment portion.
And who's the victor? Who wins?
Who wins? I got to go with age and experience on this one.
All right.
I think, it's going to be close. It's going to be a close game, but I do think the Patriots eke it out, and I think actually they learn from their loss last year. I think they kind of, you got that sense when they were in Minnesota, they weren't quite mentally there for that game. There were some lapses, and it just didn't seem like a cohesive team on the field. I think they are locked in and focused and leaning into that underdog narrative and ready to go.
Okay, we'll hold you to it.
Okay.
WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, Zoe Mitchell, Eve Zukoff, and Walt Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.